So the theme is creation today, and a couple of years ago when I was still in seminary, I was talking to a friend who, we've been talking about the creation story of Genesis and, you know, how we have this, you know, account from science now that seems to help us understand creation a little bit as well. But it's not really artistic. We really love that Genesis was this nice story, but we wanted some kind of nice poetic way to tell the story of evolution and creation from a scientific standpoint. So this person who's a Methodist minister is also a poet, and she wrote a poetic telling of the scientific evolution to get us right where we are. And I set the music and images, and we'll take a look at that right now.
Wanted. Knowledge so powerful. Wisdom so wise. A story about myself that would allow me to devise a tree of where I came from. And a deeper sense of self. And a clue to where I am heading. A boundless bank of wealth. 13.7 billion years ago. But really, before then, and an instant without time, without space, without light, without atoms, without particles, without laws, without night, the originating power of the universe was. It was in a flash, and a flare, and a drop. It was in the beginning, and it has not stopped, flooding forth from her thighs, inter time, inter space, the first moments of existence. She sees beauty. She sees grace. Expansion, her only roadmap. Freedom and randomness, her only thoughts. Electrons, sparks, positrons, and neutrinos had yet to settle down into permanent parking spots. Matter begins to meet and greet. Howdy and hello. Well, what do you know? Relationships form. Patterns are set. Theoretical laws serve as an alphabet for what you want to say. What word are you trying to spell? Because if it's A-T-O-M, a few protons and neutrons fit grammatically well. Building blocks and foundational keys emerge from the billowing blast. Self-organizing helium and hydrogen set to unlock fast galaxies fast, sweeping energy and matter to the center of its core. Galaxies invented ladders moving down to the floor of black holes. Those immense masses, revolutions, dense waves that shocked clouds. Helium and hydrogen condensed rapidly into thousands of wows that we call stars. 10.4 billion years later, Tiamat, a bright star, says goodbye to her body, supernova, quasar. Up from the remnants, her grandchildren rise, pinwheeling galaxies light the night skies. One child's name is Pegasus, another Fornax, Coma, Hercules. Dawning bright futures and potentials are Sculptor, Magnanelic, and M33. A special grandchild known as Virgo Cluster has 24 galaxies in sight. On one end, a pole named Andromeda. On another, and a little to the right, 28,000 light years from the galactic center, rests Milky Way. After 100 million years, housing 100 billion stars, our sun was born in glory within this candy bar. 15 million calendars, solar winds spin around the sun. 20 billion tons of protons a day out of the solar system just begun. Some residue gas, 1/100th in fraction, a high crumb fallen off the plate, miraculously cools into 9 round balls. Funny what time can do if we just wait. Mercury and Venus, Mars, Jupiter and Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and even Pluto. Third from the sun, familiarity, Earth. The elements have to come together just so, including proper size and position with due respect to sun, enabling gravitation and electromagnetic balance. And what about life? It's just begun. Million-year planet-wide lightning storms stinging the ocean's expanse produced Aries, the first living cell, our ancestor who memorized the dance of creation. Performing aboriginal magic, swallowing a single drop of seawater, these prokaryotes, Aries' descendants, spit out replications of themselves, sons and daughters. Mutation, special blessing from within, allowed Prometheo, our next indigenous hero, to fashion a photon food capturing device, photosynthesis, the energy we need to go forward 1.9 billion birthdays. Crisis was at hand and life was dying fast. Oxygen had set fire to our relatives until mutation brings Prospero. At last, this respirating cell thrived with oxygen. Curse, now blessing once again. Concentrations of 21% stabilized our atmosphere into fortune. Introducing celebrities, all mutations from the norm. The first symbiotic relationship, Viking and Ingla, patent form. Kronos first eats living beings, predator-prey populations take flight. Sappho discovers sexual reproduction. And community, her children find delight, because now they begin to associate in mass and build a common wall. The first multicellular organism, Argos, has found his call as the match that lit the fire, as the punch that won the fight. Soon jellyfish and flatworms emerge, geologically overnight. From here, the tail spins faster and faster. Clams, snails, jawfish, insects, trees leave water, reptiles lay eggs, flowers bloom under Tyrannosaurus rex. Self-consciousness evolves, Homo sapiens are all rage. Grandmother creates her next cave drawing while her daughter slams poems up on stage. I'm asking sixth grade science. I remember how and when. But one more hand, I wave a question. Just where did all of this begin? Picture this, cosmologists tell me. You're standing on Earth looking out. You spot two stars in different directions. All you need is to calculate their route. The closest moves so many miles per hour, traveling directly away from you. The second star, twice as far, travels twice as fast. A clue. Reverse the motion. Rewind the tape. Both end up here at the same time. Hold up. Wait, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to say? That the universe started here? That is incredibly wild. In a way, I know now what I wanted because I feel now where I'm from. And I can look around at all of you and know that we are one.
Like I said, that was made with a Methodist minister friend of mine, and I thought she did an amazing job of putting into poetry the story that science has given us to understand where we're from. And so I'm going to continue to talk about creation now. That's what we're here to talk about today. And it turns out I've really been dancing with creation and chaos for a long time. Remember back to when I was a kid, I loved art. I always loved playing with different artistic forms. Since both my parents worked, me and my sister were in after school programs sometimes, and one that I was lucky enough to be part of was an arts program. We were picked up some days of the week by these two wildly creative women who would bring us to this house that was just full of every kind of artistic tool you can imagine, every kind of paint, ceramics, and paper mache, and charcoal. And so every time we come there, we focus on some different medium, you know, finger painting, or we get to make a cast of our hand and paint it. And I didn't really even care what we did. I just loved playing with it. There was another thing about this house that we did this art in also, which is what there were two, what I thought at the time were giant dogs, the kind when you're a kid that you can probably ride if you had a saddle. And they were pretty well behaved most of the time, but invariably, at some point in the afternoon, they would just go berserk, they would bust out of wherever they were contained, and they would come blowing through that room we were working in. And suddenly chaos would ensue, and paper would be flying, and paint would be splattering, and clay would get smashed, and eventually someone, you know, would get these dogs under control again, and reassess where we were. Well, I would always be frustrated because, you know, I was one of these kids who had a plan. I was going to make a portrait of my family, and I had it all pictured in my head, and I knew what colors I wanted, and I was moving towards them. But then I would come back and there'd be this big paw print of multicolor right in the middle of my family portrait, or my, you know, clay sculpture would be all smashed up. And at first I'd be frustrated. Then I'd look at it for a little bit and think, well, maybe I could take that paw print, I could make it into like a turkey. You know, we could have the whole family sitting around the Thanksgiving table. I never had imagined that that's what I was painting. Or else maybe I wasn't making elephant sculpture. It was supposed to be an octopus. I just hadn't realized that when I started. And so I was kind of, you know, I had my plan, and then I would have to work with the chaos that was wrought. And so it really brings to mind, how do we create something? How do we create something? And usually, we humans, we want a plan. That's what we want to do. So if I was going to do a new dish for the first time tonight. Of course, I have my favorite website, allrecipes.com. I'd look up all the different squash soups that I could, and I would see all the reviews, and I'd pick one. I'd go and buy my ingredients at the store, come home and follow the good plan. Same thing if I was going to, scary for my wife to hear this, to build an addition onto our house or, you know, any other thing I would do. I would do my research, I would get my building plan, get the materials, and follow the plan. And this kind of way of creating something actually sounds a lot like that Genesis account of creation, which is really neat and tidy if you think about it. It's a good plan. If a human was tasked with the job of creating Earth, this might just be how they go about it. First, we need light. Can't work in the dark. Got to get some light. Second thing, we need a workbench. We got to get that water off the land, clear it out, got a dry place to work. No problem. We want to, you know, obviously focus that light with the stars. I mean, you can really see this is a human engineer thinking about how we build the Earth. It's a really human, well-thought-out plan. But then, now science has revealed this other way for us to think about creation. And it just might have a lot of truth behind it. We start with the Big Bang, there was a whole lot of nothing, and these forms start emerging rapidly. But as we heard in this, there are all kinds of wrong turns and unexpected chaos that unfolded to get us here. Especially, I love when she says in that video, mutation. Special blessing from within. When you get to life, there is nothing but one simple form until we have mutation to lead us to new. That is so important to remember. The chaos is how we got here. The Permian extinction. Have you guys ever heard of the Permian extinction? The meteorite came down and it didn't plan. No one saw that coming. No one planned on that. And it really was pretty debilitating for a whole lot of life forms. They had to rethink about how to be life forms. And some didn't make it. There probably was some gamma ray bursts along. No one saw that coming either, right? Where was that in the plan? So that's really the pattern that we see over and over again. The way we get where we get is through this messiness. I found some really good examples of this, too, in some of the local examples. It's really great. 2003, down the street here, a little 200 miles from the University of San Diego, this woman, Jamie Link, was working with a silicon chip. Pretty ubiquitous to this area, the silicon chip. Well, she was a PhD student doing her experiment, and she blew that chip to pieces the next day. Hundreds of little pieces all over the floor, and she was distraught. She's not part of the plan. But as she's picking up these little silicon chips, she realizes there's still life in them. They're not broken like she thought they were. And as she continued to play with them, she realized each one was alive as a sensor. And she has now found hundreds and thousands of uses for these little broken pieces of silicon. Right now, you don't even know it. The reason that we know our water is clean is because these little chips are in water supplies all over the place, keeping an eye on what's in there. She's just found hundreds of uses for this brokenness. I found this really wonderful local example in, let's see, it was 1905. Anyone ever heard of Frank Hepperson? Local legend that never became a legend, apparently. So he lived in San Francisco at the turn of the century, and he was out playing with some powdered soda. I've never had powdered soda, but apparently Frank had some. A little flavored powdered soda. He had some water in there, and he was mixing around with a stick, had his little cup, and he was out on his porch playing at night. Mom calls him in for the night, and he just kind of leaves it there. So he wakes up the next morning, runs out there, and it's hard to imagine in San Francisco, but it dropped below freezing overnight. He comes out and he pulls that stick out of the cup. Delicious! He called it an epsicle. Okay, we're getting close. He enjoys his epsicles for about 18 years until a friend is like, you know, other people might enjoy these. Now we have a popsicle because of Frank Epson. And of course, penicillin, our most important, this is one of my favorite ones, our most important antibiotic. This guy, in 1928, Alexander Fleming was known as like the messiest chemist. And I'm guessing there's a lot of competition for that. Chemist. But he was just known for having this messy workstation, leaving his chemicals there, and he'd have lunch there, and milk, and everything's there. And the guy leaves it all on his desk and goes on vacation for a couple of weeks. That's true. He comes back to his desk, and he notices
that there's this strange fungus on some of his cultures, or probably a lot of strange funguses on those cultures, but that bacteria wasn't thriving anywhere near them. This is how we got penicillin. A messy chemist who left his lunch on his desk. So we can't see this stuff coming. This is how creation unfolds, in this messy, unexpected way. And that's really the message that I wanted to bring you all today, that when you feel like you're trying so desperately to make a change in your life, to create something new, and you hit a point where it's not what you planned, and it feels like failure, that's not failure. That's chaos, and it can be good. Work with it. You got to dance with it. And so that's what I really want to remind us today as we continue to grow as a community together, out into the unknown expanses of the universe around us. It's not always going to go like we planned. But if we stay together in this and embrace that messiness, we are going to unfold things that we can't even imagine together. And I can't wait. Maybe so. I'd like to invite Renee back up to delight us with some more of their creation. It's a musical meditation. And am I right, Paul, that you wrote this one?
Yeah.
Paul wrote this one. It's called God Bless the Artist.
Perfect one.